Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We are Cis Society, a global community that fearlessly explores taboo topics around our sensuality, our intimacy, and our sexuality. And this is Taboo Talks, a weekly conversation where we can dive deep into these taboo topics with leading minds of the new earth in order to bring shadow to light. And today we are joined by Shashi Victoria, who is a renowned Tantra Taoist teacher and facilitator, author, filmmaker extraordinaire. She's studied with Mantak Chia and has a degree in psychology from Oxford University. Of orgasms in her as part of her graduation. And currently she leads trauma training for Tantra professionals within the community of Tantra Alliance that she is a part of. So we're just overjoyed to have the wealth of knowledge and wisdom that she is on the show today with us. And if conversations like this excite you, please follow us here at cissociety.world or listen to us via Spotify podcasts for more episodes as we continue to break down the walls of stigma and liberate our truth. And so we are just waiting for her to join us now. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this conversation and grateful that you know her. You guys are friends. Tulum. Oh, now we're losing you.
Hi, I'm back. were you able to hear me?
No.
Or just completely? Okay. Good to know. I disappeared. Yeah, I haven't had the chance to deep dive with her, and I'm super excited. Like, she is a wealth of information surrounding this month's topic, orgasms. And yeah, when I reached out to her initially, I expressed the desire to talk about different types of orgasms, and she immediately was like, this is my favorite subject to talk about, so let's go. So yeah, as soon as she hops on, we can dive in with her.
Great.
Yeah.
What's been coming up for you so far with this topic around orgasms in your life?
I think we talked about this maybe last week, but it's still really present in my body, and that's attachment. Like the story that like I need an orgasm in order to have a satisfying sexual experience. And like that, like attachment to that peak point of pleasure, or even the story that that is a peak point of pleasure, right? Like, can we not experience undulating bliss and pleasure throughout the totality of an experience or someone else? So yeah, I'm just like, I feel like a lot of narrative rewriting, like elimination of stories, coming back to disattachment would probably be the core of my internal theme. What about you? What's been present and alive for you?
Yeah, something that it's coming through that you're as you're sharing around that is what we've been saying is like a never-ending peak moment. The everlasting orgasm that just is your life in that bliss, like being in the orgasm all the time. Yeah. How do we like stay in that and find that pleasure in so many expressions?
I love that. Like living in the perpetual orgasm of your life. Like, wow, what a statement. Yeah, you know, like I had this sister, and she moved through this tantric training, and when she was nearing her graduation date, Like something just shifted in her. And we were out at the beach one day, and she was like, honestly, like everything in life is pleasurable if you allow it. She was like this breeze, like delicately caressing your skin. Like, can you feel that kind of like awakening your senses? And like, look at this ocean, like the way that your eyes take it and you're making love to it. And she was like, can you let life make love to you? And like, it really, really hit me. I don't know, can we swear on here or will that get us
We've
banned?
been swearing the whole
Okay.
time.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, to be honest, she said, like, can you let life fuck you? Was what she said. And I was like, oh yeah, like can I just like allow life to take me and just feel like every cell awakened and vibrant and pulsating.
If life is your beloved and you're just getting fucked by life, how can you be in an orgasmic state from life itself? And one of my favorite mantras that I was using a lot last year was, I want to be penetrated by life. Like, let me be penetrated by life itself.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. I'm receiving these messages from different people, and I like it's apparent that like this is a theme for me to remember and come back to. Like even in like the sticky, uncomfortable parts too, I've been like moving in, and like I was recently really angry about something, and when I actually like tapped into my body and felt it, I was like super turned on. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm feeling so alive and like so juiced up and like just pulsing with life force energy. And so yeah, I think we can really apply that to all elements of our life, especially like I think it's easy when you start to remember these things to connect to like the pleasurable, beautiful, tasty, delicious parts of life. But then like the work is to find pleasure and acceptance like in the sticky, dense parts as well too. And yeah, so that's coming up for me too.
Yeah, you can't have one without the other. Like, we were just talking to this with my friend last night, and everything that's in the polarity, the duality, they need each other to exist. Like, the light needs the shadow. Like, for us to experience the pleasure, we need to experience the pain. For us to experience the euphoria, we need to experience the sadness. And the more that we allow ourselves to go into either of those polarities, the more that we open up ourselves to be in the fullness of that expression on either end. And so often we resist going into the shadow and we just want the light. But the truth is, like, in order to be in those states of euphoria and bliss and orgasmic, the everlasting orgasm, it also requires us to be in our feels and to be in our moodiness and to be in that sadness and to be in that heaviness equally. And that invitation to go into that depth is the invitation for us to go into that bliss simultaneously. And like, how can we, like you said, to your point, how can we make that dense energy that we would maybe want to avoid, how can we actually celebrate that and make love to that? When I'm feeling really crunchy and dense, I put on sexy, dark music, and I just put a candle on, and I just make it into this death, sexy self-love ritual. Like, that's one of the ways that I like to welcome in that energy. Or cry and write, journal, make it into a poem, make it into art, and use other ways of channeling that in a way that's really sexy and pleasurable and is actually really beautiful, even though it doesn't always feel beautiful in the moment. We can still create art from it in whatever way that we want.
Yeah, transmutation. Yeah, like something just came up, like just to really like give allow the space for yourself to embody your shadow, like to like embody that those elements, those like you said, crunchy, dense parts of us. And like I'm seeing a mirror practice, you know, like naked and just like really
It's
conjuring
hot.
like things in my senses to come up and like be with them and just kind of like I feel like there's a lot of animalistic energy there, like that's kind of seen. And like just like oh my God, I forgot to share this with you. But I went to this performance. This woman is a live looper, but she's also this like incredible performer. And she, the way that she was expressing was so fully embodied. It was like she was like crying 1 second, screaming another, and like as she was creating music, and she was just like, rah! And it was like such the archetype of the wild feminine. And I was like, this woman is having like a 3 hour long orgasm during her set. Like she just like is so free, and she's like feeling everything. And then she's like, it was just so, like I cried watching it. It was so beautiful to witness someone just so, I don't even want to say unhinged. It just felt raw. Like she was raw and honest with whatever was coming up in that present moment. And like her face was contorting, and like she was just like going at it. And it was super beautiful to see.
Yeah, and bringing it back to orgasms, I feel like that's an instrumental part. We have to be honest with where our bodies are and where our emotions are, and how often are we in these situations, these sexual situations, where we just want to be in our pleasure and look pretty and be like, right? Like it's always this sensual, but it's not always how we're feeling. And sometimes we have to be in that primal expression or the anger expression. And that's actually what unlocks the orgasm, because it's just that authentic connection to how we're feeling in the moment. And if we can communicate that, if we can, number one, identify that for ourselves and then communicate that with our partners, then it exposes where how we're really feeling. And maybe we just need to sound together. Maybe we just need to be animals together. And then that unlocks our ability to really go into that pleasure, more so than if we're just like pushing that away because we don't want to be too much, or not look sexy, or whatever these stories that we have are. So that's
And those
something else that I feel like is super important. And I just want to pause for a moment. Have you contacted our guest just to see where she's at?
I did. I was just so present with our conversation that I didn't
Yeah.
have to see. So hold, please.
So we are waiting for our guest right now, which is Shashi Victoria, who is a renowned Taoist tantric facilitator, extraordinaire filmmaker, author, just incredible being, and she's going to be joining us shortly. And in the meantime, Heather and I will continue to talk about orgasms because we're clearly the orgasm experts now.
Yeah, she's in Costa Rica right now, and I haven't heard from her, so there might have been like a difference, digestive issue, but we'll see. Like I have faith, everything is perfect, and I'm really enjoying our conversation right now, either way. Yeah, like what came through when you were just sharing that was like attachment to how the orgasm is supposed to look, you know, and like because I porn personifies this like. This specific image of like how we're supposed like, supposed to be sexy and like you know like just like meet the that pleasure in our life, and as I wake up, as I like become more in touch with my body, like I'm crying when I'm like making love, I'm like screaming, I'm laughing, like I'm just allowing, like as long as I feel safe, I'm like fully allowing life force energy to move through my body. You know, I'm like welcoming it all, like in the way that that artist was the other night, which was just so inspiring to see because it was free. Like, and I can see the importance of feeling free and safe in our bodies and how that can lead to a more fulfilling sex life and deeper and more profound orgasms.
Absolutely. It goes back to feeling safe in our bodies and feeling, yeah, expansive, like expansive instead of contractive. And I don't know if you got a chance to read the article that I posted in our private community group, but it was super interesting, and it was talking all about the statistics with female orgasms and male orgasms, and how female orgasms were about half the percentage of male orgasms, and what the contributing factors were around that. And yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. And one of the things that it was saying was that women actually orgasm more with other women. And like when they're in a, a dynamic that's the same sex, and that women in general will fake their orgasms like twice as much as men will. And a lot of this goes back to the woman, and this is what I'm experiencing in this month too, is women who we haven't felt safe to necessarily advocate for our pleasure in the way that men have been trained and have been modeled to. That's been the normal for the man to advocate for his pleasure and to clearly physically see when he is pleasured, when he's aroused, and when he has been finished and aroused and pleasured. And something that's coming up for me is like, for how many lifetimes have I not advocated for my pleasure? For how many lifetimes have I given my sexual power away? And even in this lifetime, growing up in a really conservative Christian family, I was told that touching myself was sinful. I was told that having sex before marriage was sinful, and there's so much shame around sexuality and let alone like feeling like I could even ask for that from someone else. I didn't even know how to do that, give that to myself. So as a 31-year-old adult, I'm having to reprogram myself and having so much patience and kindness and compassion for myself because no one ever taught me that sex was safe. No one taught me that sex was empowering and beautiful and healing. Like it was so much the opposite. And so I think that it's really normal if you're out there and you do have trouble orgasming with a partner. One of the main statistics was that women actually orgasm way more when they're self-pleasuring than with partners typically. And I just like wonder how much of that is because women aren't really fully advocating for what they need in the bedroom. And there was also another statistic that was saying women orgasm a lot more with partners than with one night stands. It was like a woman only orgasms, it was maybe 8 to 9% of the time in a casual hookup with someone versus the orgasm, it was maybe like in the 60% with a partner. And so I thought that was interesting too, around like safety and communication and all how that all connects with an orgasm. And so there's so many layers to this, but something that really has been coming through to me is that it is our responsibility as a woman in a woman's body in this lifetime to advocate for our pleasure. Because even if you're with the most conscious, loving, connected partner, they're still not gonna be able to meet you until you can meet yourself. And I've just been realizing, like, wow, like, I really have not done this my whole life. Like, I've never really advocated for my pleasure. And now I feel like something is switching in me where I'm like, no, my pleasure is equally as important, equally as important. And if I want to achieve these orgasms and these, like all these different types of orgasms that we're going to talk about, then I need to understand, like, what are my needs in order to get there. And if those needs aren't being met, or something could be tweaked a little bit this way or that way, then I'm responsible for communicating that. And I'm not outsourcing that to someone else or just to the universe happenstance. I hope this happens. It's like this, I'm taking responsibility, like whatever that means. I need to touch myself more. I need to experiment. Maybe I need to take a course about orgasms. Like these are all things that we can put that responsibility back in our hands, and this directly ties with menstruation. It's the same thing. We need to equip ourselves with the knowledge. We need to track our cycles. We need to understand that for ourselves as women. And I'm just so passionate about this in this time and age, specifically women's consciousness around our bodies, our sexuality, and our power is really coming online right now. And it is our responsibility to harness that within and then to share that with our partners, share that with other people in our lives so that they can also learn how to handle us, how to handle us and the multi-orgasmic dimensional magical creatures that we are as women.
Yes, that was the best monologue ever. I see, like, preach, queen, preach. Like, this is amazing. I'm loving every single word of that entire transmission. For me, like, what came through in all of that is, like, it starts with us, like, getting to know ourselves and our bodies and being with ourselves and understanding them, playing with them, touching yourself in different ways, and then recognizing through that practice what you like and what you don't like. And then communicating that to anyone that you're getting intimate with, you know, and like it's almost like a like an internal guidebook, you know? Like if you're like self-pleasuring and you're with yourself, like you have these I don't even want to say boundaries, just like things that you like know work and you know that you like, and like you're basically like handing them a golden nugget of beautiful information that you can like co-create and like build this beautiful orgasmic pleasure art through the process. And yeah, it's 100% our responsibility.
I tell you about the pleasure manual, this idea that we created, that my partner and I created, and I actually have a physical example of it now. I don't
Okay,
know if we
please.
talked about this before, but
I think I remember you saying you were going to do it, but it was like still at the beginning stages. So I would love to hear more. And while you're speaking, I'm just gonna check the messages to see if we were able to reconnect with Shashi. But I'm still here. I can hear you. I'm
okay, yeah.
frozen, but
Sounds
I'm
good.
still here.
So, yeah, there's this idea of creating a self-pleasure manual, essentially a guide to unlocking your pleasure. And I split mine into different categories. For instance, there's a category for foreplay, there's a category for emotional intimacy, there's a category for environment and hygiene, like the set and the setting. There's a category for the actual sexual pieces of it, and there's a few more categories too, but that really helped me to dissect and understand all the layers that really go into our pleasure outside of just I like it doggy style or I wanna like that's like the very last part of it when you're actually in the penetrative act of having sex, but there's just infinite layers of pleasure to experience leading up into that point, and then also surrounding that. For instance, the set and the setting is huge, right? If our bodies don't feel safe or comfortable where we're at, or maybe the partner that we're hooking up with has really bad breath, I'm sorry, but I'm not really gonna feel fully aroused. It's gonna be a lot harder for me and my body to feel in that way, or if I'm in a really dirty, scary type of environment or room. Like one of those sex clubs in Berlin. I wasn't it wasn't up to par for me personally of what I feel like I want to feel turned on by. It felt kind of dirty and it's sexy in its own way and everyone's different, but this is why you make a pleasure manual. So then you can write this all down on a sheet of paper. I formatted mine on Canvas, so it's all pretty looking. And then it's a manual. And you use that manual on yourself first and foremost. And then you share that manual with partners, with friends. Because, like I said, it's not just sexual. It's, oh, Alfina gets turned on by singing together or dancing together or massaging. So, as a friend of hers, I know that she really likes to have her hair played with. So, I'm going to play with her hair because I know that that really helps her to feel like loved, right? And brings her pleasure. So this is just a couple of examples, and I encourage everyone that feels drawn to doing that, to creating that, even if it's just in your journal or in a note in your phone. It's a really powerful act of reclaiming your pleasure and then a tool for you to advocate for that with other people.
Wait, I just see this being your second book, honestly. Like, no. Like as soon as you were saying all this, I was like, this is definitely your second authoring opportunity with this
Oh
idea. It's
goodness, add it to the list of all the other books I'm gonna create, I guess.
You got it, honey. You did one, no problem. Get there.
Yeah. Have you heard about from our guest? Have you heard anything or still?
Not. I know like Poppy there too. Like she's in the jungle, so yeah.
Well, we'll have her on when the time is right. And for now, I'm really enjoying our conversation. And there's something else that I feel is really important to share that's been coming up for me, and it has to be coming up for other people. And that is this underlying fear that when we ask for what we want, especially as a woman, just historically, because of how this has been in the gender roles of society, is that my pleasure is too much. If I ask for what I want, it's gonna be too much. I'm gonna seem needy. I'm not gonna have my needs met. I'm gonna get laughed at, whatever these stories in our head. And that's been coming through a lot of feeling like, is this too much? Am I worth like these like insecurities? Like, oh, well, is my pleasure even worth that? Is my partner or whoever I'm having this experience with, are they going to want to give that to me? Are they going to be available to give that to me? And noticing that where I am feeling that insecurity, then I'm gonna be probably re like reflecting that in how I'm showing up for myself. And I'm curious, like, if you've noticed the same insecurities, and just to be so vulnerable and real, like, how do we really break through those insecurities to get to the place where we are fully confident and fully embodied in, this is what I need, this is what I want, and 111% I'm worth it, especially for those of us women who maybe we take longer to reach orgasm. Like for me, and this is also a whole nother side topic that you can look into, it's super interesting. In Vedic astrology, we have a Yoni Kuta, and also you have a Lingam Kuta, and this is based off of your nakshatra, it's based off of your birth time, your natal chart. In Vedic astrology, you have a yoni and a lingam type, and it is associated with a certain animal, and that animal type tells you all sorts of specifics around your pleasure and actually your genitals. So it tells you, for instance, for your yoni, it tells you if it's like a narrow or more wide opening. It tells you like how deep it is, how deep your vagina is, and also it tells you what you need to receive pleasure and how you what types of lingams are compatible or what types of yonis are compatible. And that for me, discovering that mine is the serpent type, I was like, oh, serpent, that's sexy. You know, everyone wants the kundalini, right? But then I was reading that the serpent type is basically the type that takes the longest to reach orgasm, but it's also associated with like the dakini because it is the type that can keep having sex and orgasms for hours. So it's like it takes longer to get that to that first point, but then I can like keep going longer and longer. So something I've realized in my pleasure journey is that I need to be with a partner who can go with me for hours and who is patient in that process and who also has trained himself to be a multi-orgasmic man. And that's just something that I've come into awareness of, and I cannot have a fulfilling sexual encounter with someone who it's just going to be like a really quick thing. And that's just something I'm realizing. And it's like a non-negotiable for me. Like, if I want to have a fulfilling sexual experience, knowing this about myself and then communicating that, being with partners who are also into that, is just, it's a non-negotiable for me at my at this point in my life. And it's something I realized about a year ago. And now that I know that and have that awareness, it's been really helpful for me. So, for any of you out there who are interested, I can share with you. I will just write it in the show notes in the comments. And you can look this up based off your nakshatra. You can find your yoni and your lingam type. And I highly suggest looking into that because it's been really helpful for me. And if you're interested in learning more about that, I also do readings. I do little mini readings around this. So, just reach out to me too. But yeah, Heather, I'm curious. Have you looked at your type at all?
I have, to be honest, the resource that I found, I think the texts were quite outdated because like it was talking about like my temperament type and it was like can quite difficult to work with and it was like having like it said like really random things that I didn't resonate with any of that information. I don't remember the type. Maybe I'm a sheep. Is there a sheep?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
there's a sheep. There's a sheep, and there's another in inventory resource for this. I don't remember, but it's from a book, and that's based off of how the outside of your vagina looks like, and the lips, and all of that. And there's a book that you can look at it from the outside. That's another way of identifying. But what I'm talking about is based off of your based off of your birth information. So it's more of like an inside job.
Send me the resource because the one I found like really weird. It was really just strange information.
This
But
is super taboo. Like, there's not a lot of info out there about this, but when I was in Tulum, I was connected with a really brilliant Indian Vedic astrologer who taught me this. And actually, I would love to have him on the show.
Oh yeah,
Oh
you know,
my
I actually
goodness, we should bring him on the show and have him talk about all of this.
I ran into him last week and he's like, let's drop in. And I was like, yes, let's. And that's wild, actually. I think he'd be amazing to bring on the show to talk specifically about this, in fact.
He can share more about this because I'm still a novice. I'm learning about it too. And it's ancient. It's almost this hidden information that is it's not out there. It's not really out there like Western astrology is. So you do have to do a little bit more digging and do your due diligence in researching some of these things because there's a lot of conflicting information out there on the internet too. It can be really confusing sometimes.
Oh my God, there so is. I mean, even just like if you look up, like you ask a question, you can see like if you scroll down, I was doing this recently, there was like 15 different responses to the same question, like very different responses. And I was like, this feels a little dangerous. Like, you know, depending on what you're reaching out and like using that resource for, like are you just trusting the first one? Are you like trusting the one that you want, like that's the answer that you want to receive. So you're like, that's the one. I'm gonna go with that one.
Isn't that what we do psychologically?
Yes.
There's a psychological phenomenon like bias,
Yeah.
something bias, confirmation bias, I think is what it's called, where we just assume the truth in whatever fits our narrative the
Yes.
closest. That's the truth. I'll choose that one.
It's so true. It's like, you know, like when you're in the middle of like a breakup and you like want to stay with him, even though you know it's not great, and you continuously reach out to friends to ask for advice, and they're all like, you should leave him. And then you hang up and you call the next girlfriend and you're like, oh my God, what do you think I should do? You should leave him. And you keep calling until someone's like, I think you two should work it out. And you're like, yeah, me too. Exactly. That's exactly it.
That's so funny that we do that.
It is funny. Definitely a shadow. It's important. Like, I feel like even talking about it's bringing it up for me to look at. Asked a question before going into the Yoni Lingam Kuta information about not advocating like for like if I had been an advocate for my own pleasure. And like the answer is definitely no. Like up until recently, I was really just like, I don't want to say using sex, but sex for me was like an opportunity to deepen intimacy and connection with someone. And like for me, pleasure, like my pleasure wasn't ever really a priority. Like it wasn't even in my conscious mind. I was just like, oh, like we're connecting. And now that, you know, since we've met, like things have really catapulted into a new pleasure dimension because you're a pleasure priestess. Where yeah, I'm like beginning to like communicate what I want and don't want, and having we talk about it all the time, but the RB DSMA talk is like clutch. But yeah, for so long I just like I think it was so buried in my subconscious that like I am not a being of pleasure. Like I was almost just going through the motions when I was connecting with someone. I'm still like finding it enjoyable occasionally, but never really never prioritizing or putting my pleasure on a pedestal, or my wants or desires were not being communicated. So yeah, I feel like in a much different place now, and I feel really grateful for that. But it's been a journey.
Yeah,
It's been
it's a lifelong journey. I feel there's more and more layers that are always being exposed for us to embrace deeper and advocate stronger for. Just because of how suppressed that our sexuality in general has been, especially for women. And I feel that this is the deepest collective wound is our around our sexuality.
Yeah, 100%. And like, you know what's crazy? I actually was like, I saw a porn once, like a couple years ago, and it was my friend suggested it. She was like, because I was telling her about how the porn industry was corrupt, and like I was kind of having this like, you know, the many little epiphany wake up moments as you like your consciousness starts to expand, and you're like, oh my gosh, everything is a lie. And I was like, porn's gross. And she was like, I think you need to watch 70s French porn. And I was like, I feel intrigued. So like I went online and I was like, 70s French porn. And this shit was so inspiring. Like these were like do this, don't do that, touch me there, yes, more
Ooh.
Please. It was so hot. I was like, at what point did we like lose that like feminine empowerment in the bedroom? You know, like I just like, I'm not sure historically how we lost it, but like now we're reclaiming it and it's coming back. But if you feel called to like do a little research, like definitely check out, and for those of you listening, 70s French porn, if you want like a boost of empowerment, because they really like, it's just, it's such a different dimension.
And do
like,
they show the woman orgasming in those porns?
I mean, I don't remember the details. Like what I really took away from it was that they were communicating and it was really still really, really hot. Like there was a story that like, if I'm communicating something, it's going to like, you know, I'm going to take the mood away and it's going to like ruin the moment. So I have to be quiet and just moan and like, you know, it's crazy. And like the way that they're just trusting their body in the moment of like, hey, like that feels good. That doesn't. And she was just kind of like guiding him and it was like a dance, you know, as opposed to just like, I'm surrendering, take me, like, I will say nothing, like.
Yeah, this is reminding me of something that I just got taught recently, which is called a four-handed massage, where you use your hands on your body, like touching yourself, pleasing yourself, and then your partner would trace you with their hand. So then they're just like mirroring on top of your hand what you're doing on your body. So they are touching you, but first and foremost, you are touching you and you're guiding them in how to touch you and where to touch you and how quickly to touch you and how lightly to touch you. And then you're teaching them through the embodied practice of tracing your body in a forehand massage.
Like vision of just being like, can I show you how I like to be touched by touching me? Like, you know, it's like really sexy.
So sexy. Ooh. I love that idea for the porn. That's so hot. And yeah, I don't know what happened to the rest of the porn since then, but I can't help but think that, you know, we know that in the body through the vagus nerve that our yoni, our sacral, our lingam, that chakra center is connected to our throats. And like physiologically in our bodies, the vagus nerve connects those. And so when there is trauma that happens to us in our sexual portals, which we know from the sexual assault month, majority of people have experienced trauma there, even if it hasn't been in their immediate lifetimes. Through epigenetics, we're storing that trauma from previous generations who the statistics were even worse back then. I mean, it's been living in all of our DNA. It's this huge collective wound. And so of course, that's directly affected our throat chakras. We haven't felt safe. We haven't been able to speak up. Or in the past, when we did speak up, we were killed. We were raped. You know, it's so deeply connected. And then the more that we are advocating for ourselves, the more we are sharing our truth, then we are finding simultaneously liberation in our sacral and safety in our sacral. So those two chakra portals, the mouth and the yoni or the lingam, are super, 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 super connected for anyone that's watching and just making those connections and wondering like, oh, how do I heal one or how do I help one? Well, they're connected. So however you're helping one, it's going to help the other and vice versa.
You know, what's wild that you mentioned the vagus nerve. I literally just bought a course on Daily Om today about healing the vagus nerve.
Oh, wow. Like,
me so many offers to jump into courses, and this one just immediately caught me and I was like, heck yes, I'm going in to create a deeper connection with my vagus.
That's amazing. Yeah, and I think that like singing and speaking, just speaking your truth in general, it doesn't have to just be around your pleasure, but just using your voice to advocate for yourself, it's all like directly helping to heal and to open your creative center too. And yeah, it's been a really big part of my healing journey for my sacral has been really focusing on how can I speak, how can I assert myself in all these other ways. And then like from that place of safety, from that foundation of I feel safe to share, I feel safe to speak, then we can bring in around these harder issues that are harder, the hardest issues to share about typically when they are connected to our sexuality and our desires and our traumas and our pleasure and all of that.
Yeah, something that's coming through is like how we do one thing is how we do everything. And like I was like terrified to sing for so long, and I was like also terrified of speaking up for my wants and desires in the bedroom. And like they're connected, you know? It's like your throat like mimics actually. Like there's like I saw the side-by-side comparison of the female the throat, and they're like super similar. Did you see
The
this?
female what? You cut out for a
The
second.
female reproductive system.
Oh, wow. And the throat?
Yeah, if you do a side-by-side comparison, they're like nearly identical. Like they have very similar parts in the way that they're set up, and they like mirror one another, connected. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, our whole bodies are just mirrors and maps. Yeah.
The treasure map.
Oh. So, what type of orgasm are you ready to experience next in your life?
I really desire to experience a full body orgasm, but what's been coming through is a cervical orgasm. And I did a Kundalini activation process a couple days ago, and the instructor after class was like, "Hey, the best thing to support this is dancing and sex." And I was like, "Okay." Like just to like she's like to maintain the energy and keep the Kundalini activated, you know, like dancing and sex are the ways. And
For a
then
cervical
I was out with
orgasm.
just in general, but like so that's what I desire to experience. But then I was out with another friend, and they were like, "Oh wow, like after you have like a cat process and you like make love, like immediately like your Kundalini will activate, like if you're on the same frequency as that person." Like, and she was like, "Oh yeah, have you not like had sex yet since you're like cap?" And I'm like, "No, I haven't." And she was like, "Okay, well if you do, like you are going to like begin to feel this life force energy." So I think I'm not sure if that's considered a full body orgasm. I don't know much about alternative orgasms and like how they differ, which is why I'm super excited to talk to Shashi. Why we miss you. But yeah, so I think I'm most excited for that, to be honest. Like next time I connect with someone, like to like really like allow my Kundalini to activate and like soften and like just move through me. So a Kundalini orgasm would be
More of like an energetic, just full body wave.
because honestly when you're in a cat process, like your body's moving and you're not controlling it, like in the same way as like when you orgasm and you just kind of like lose control over your body for a moment. So I think for me that feels like the frequency and energy of an orgasm, like this like loss of like control and like trusting something greater than ourselves and really like allowing that life force energy to flow through our body. Like I'm even doing like this is a little like this is me right now still activated in my Kundalini. Like I'm not like doing this, but it's doing me. And yeah.
Has this been happening to other people? I'm curious for real, because for the last, I don't know, since I honestly came to Tulum and sat with grandmother ayahuasca, and for anyone that sat in plant medicine ceremonies, especially ayahuasca or wachuma, it's a very somatic experience. So you'll start shaking, undulating, moving your body in all sorts of ways that it's like this kundalini energy where it's moving through you. You're not really moving. You're almost like a puppet that's being moved. And that's why these medicines are so healing, because somatically we're releasing this trauma, this energy that's just stuck in our bodies. And this is a little bit of a side note, but I'm gonna bring it back. But it's so crazy to witness that through these somatic experiences of just shaking and moving and sounding, not only have I felt that it's opened up and healed a lot emotionally for me, but I actually see that my body is changes. Like my butt has opened up so much, and I always wanted a bigger butt. Like my whole life, I was wishing for a bigger butt. And then I sat with ayahuasca and I realized how much trauma has been stored in my ass and my hips and my legs and my knees and my feet. It's like this whole lower quadrant or half of me has gone through so much somatic release in the last year since that ceremony. And honestly, I'm to the point now where I'll sit under the moon, or I'll smoke a little bit of weed, or I'll just be in stillness. And that's enough. And I'll start just being moved. Like, I'm not really moving myself. It's just this universal wave of energy that's moving through me. And recently, I mentioned this like last week when we were talking about orgasms and how I was able to give myself an organic orgasm without a toy for the first time, my whole life, for the first time, like less than a month ago. Okay. And leading up to that week, I was receiving all sorts of these types of somatic experiences, movements, particularly in my yoni, in my womb. I was feeling really activated. One day I went to the beach, I was just lying there, and I was just feeling like how you feel in a medicine ceremony. It was like all in my yoni, or on my vagina, or on my yoni, or on my hips. And I was just shaking, and I could feel like it almost felt like a little laser beam. It was like coming in and clearing energy around and like activating my yoni, and I was receiving waves of pleasure, orgasmic pleasure, just filling up my body. And I'm just, is this normal to are other people experiencing this? I really want to know, because I do feel that these little mini medicine ceremonies that I'm continuing to have are helping to clear old energy and helping to activate dormant parts of me that are coming online right now. And I would just love to hear from anyone listening to this if they've experienced something similar.
Yeah, chime in.
Don't know. Do you experience, have you experienced this, Heather?
I mean, like a laser beam cleaning out my yoni, not specifically that, but definitely that feels like a beautiful gift for you, like in that shape and form. For me, I feel a lot more pleasure when I tap into it and I surrender to it. Like even talking about this right now, like I feel my yoni activated. I did. It's like this, it feels like a lightness and a heaviness, like a weight almost, but like a weight of expanded undulating energy. And yeah, I'm like I said, I was angry the other day and I like felt this level of like pleasure and bliss through it. I was like, I'm actually really turned on right now. So yeah, I've definitely been feeling it more and more. And I think it does feel like an energetic cleansing because I feel like I'm putting my conscious attention to pleasure, and then whatever we put our attention to expands, right? So if I'm just like disassociating, which I did for most of my life, like I didn't really have a body, I just had like a head and a mind, and like, I was just living in my anxiety. I was just
Bobblehead.
like, and now that I'm like bringing my conscious attention to these different pieces of myself, specifically my pleasure and like my lower chakras, like it's really clearing out stagnant old energy and creating space for the pleasure. And I'm just like I feel turned on every day, like at different points in the day. Like I can just be walking down the street or, like eating a banana. Like it comes out. It's just there. It's like I almost feel like since I'm bringing my attention and focus to it, she feels safe, like my pleasure feels safe to begin to communicate with me and speak more loudly.
Whatever we give attention to, it's just growing. So of course, that's only going to amplify. It sounds like you're having this, your own experiences with being turned on. And how often has that been shamed too, especially for men? We're like, oh my gosh, you have a boner right now? Gross. Why are you being turned on? And we've like shamed that. We've shamed that in the masculine, and we've also shamed that in ourselves. And I was recently talking to my friend, and he was sharing that it's really healthy and normal for men to wake up with a boner. And it's a sign of fertility, and it's a sign of sexual vitality and sexual health. And same with women, like especially depending on where we are in our cycle. But that's totally normal and really healthy. And I think the more that we're turned on throughout our day outside of the bedroom, like turned on in nature, turned on by food, turned on with friends, turned on whatever, then that's only going to create that ongoing peak moment. And it's like the perpetual foreplay. I want to be in perpetual foreplay with life. And then we do drop into these juicier moments. It's like our bodies, our minds, our souls, our emotions are already so lubed up and opened up and in trusting that we can just drop in deeper, faster, and achieve more or receive more pleasure.
Oh, yeah. So wait, Shashi just called me. Bookmark this. I'm just gonna see what's going on with her.
And for those of you who've been tuning in, we have these conversations, these taboo talks every week, same time and same place, with different transformative episodes. And this week we have honestly just been chatting amongst each other and really having this beautiful conversation around orgasms and pleasure and prioritizing and advocating for our pleasure as women, as men, and just diving into, yeah, where we might be holding ourselves back and how we can really open ourselves up to be penetrated by life itself and be turned on all of the time and have that peak moment ongoing. So if you want, you can catch this replay. We have all of our replays under our highlights on our page. And we also have a Spotify channel with this podcast, Taboo Talks. You can follow us there and catch all of the other previous episodes, as well as a YouTube channel. All of those links are on our main page as well. And this week, unfortunately, or in this episode, I should say, unfortunately, we weren't able to connect with Shashi just because of, looks like a time difference miscommunication, since she is out of the country in Costa Rica. But we'll definitely be having her on the show probably just next week instead. So stay tuned for that really juicy episode. And again, we're a society, a global community dedicated to rewriting the narratives around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality, and going into these deep taboo topics like orgasms, which is this month's topic and theme.
Yes.
So yeah, thank you, Heather, for being open to having this conversation again. This is, I apparently this is what we were supposed to be doing 2 weeks in a row.
You and me, baby. Just knocking it out. I mean, there's just so much to dissect and digest with this topic, and so like I'm happy to have these conversations and yeah, to reconnect with my body more deeply through them. So I love you, grateful for you. And yeah, I want to thank everyone who's tuning in, whether it was now or it's in another future now moment. And yeah, stay juicy, everyone. Your pleasure is worth prioritizing, and go and love yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And if conversations like this really excite you and you desire to be connected with a deeper community who also enjoys this, we have a private WhatsApp community that's dedicated to exploring taboo and has lots of amazing resources and connections in there for you. So just reach out to Cis Society or Heather or myself personally to be added into that WhatsApp group. And we'll see you next week for another episode as we pioneer the new earth together, hand in hand, heart to heart.
Wow. Love you. Thanks everyone for tuning in. See you next week. Mwah.